In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship. This week following Easter, we continue to live in the power of the resurrection, and we're glad that you're here with us this day as we celebrate that together. Please, if you are visiting with us for the first time, we pray that you are welcomed warmly by those seated around you. We pray that you will share any information on how we might contact you and follow up with your visiting with us as you feel led on the welcome pads that you'll find on the inside pew. Please, everyone, take time to sign in today and pass them down the pew to greet one another by name following the worship service. There will be a time of fellowship in the Hope Room of sharing together after the worship service this morning, and this is also our College Fellowship Sunday. Thanks to Heidi Abendroth for hosting this week, and I don't know if we have any college. We have at least one college student here, so we hope we might see more by the time the service continues a long way. But that is a brunch that we provide every first Sunday of the month after worship. I want to say a special word of thanks this morning to all of those who have gathered so quickly following the death of Terry Owusu this week and her funeral yesterday, and particularly for the deacons who were part of that reception and service together yesterday as we gave thanks for her life and prayed as she moved into the comfort and care of God. Please take note of the announcements that you will find in your bulletin this morning, particularly to note that our nominating committee for new officers, for new elders and deacons, is getting underway this month, and you'll find information about that in the bulletin about who's on that committee this season. And if you have suggestions for elders or deacons that you would like to make to us, please see the members of that committee or be in touch with me, or if you yourself are feeling called to that kind of that ministry of leadership in this time in our congregation, let us know. I'd like to call upon Pastor Medhat for an announcement.
I want to share with you about the good news about we are moving forward in terms of the interim committee. And last session, we approved the committee. And I'm going to tell you the names of our 9 members. Our first meeting will be on May 7th at 7 p.m. So the first member is Juliet Chen, Sally Lockhart.
Please stand if you're here this morning so people can put names and faces together.
Thank you.
Sally is in Akron, Ohio this weekend with her brother-in-law's memorial service.
Keith Cooper. Lee Vanderburn. Philip Jumbo. He's not here. Irene Broderick. Jenny Surgener. Dan Blackford, Zach Sharp. So this is the committee, and as I said, we are really moving forward, and I think we'll have another announcement very close to the interim work. We'll come by Gina.
Good morning. So as Pastor Medhat just introduced our new strategic planning committee, we are now beginning the strategic planning phase of the interim process of our church. And part of that process starts off with a congregational assessment that we will be conducting. We're going to be using a tool called the Church Assessment Tool, which is an online survey that will be going out next week to all of you. So to help us with that process, we are going to need all of your updated email addresses. So during coffee hour, there are two email address lists on a table out there. One is a general Providence publicist email address list, and the other is a 20s and 30s gathering list. If you could check both lists for your name and email address and make any corrections to it, that would be great. If your email address is correct, if you could just put a check mark next to your name to let us know that you have seen it, that would also be wonderful. For those of you who do not have email access or access to a computer, you can also request a paper copy of the survey to be completed. And there is another sign-up sheet for that, so you can just fill in your name and address so that we can get a paper copy to you. If you have any questions about the survey, please come see me. I'll be the one to organize all of the data and all that, possibly with the help of Andrew Foster on that. I think that is it. Can I make another announcement? One other totally unrelated announcement to this. For those of you interested in a Bible study, Russ Miller would like to hold a Bible study on the book of Exodus. So if anyone is interested in doing that, we'd like to start sometime next week. Please see myself or Russ Miller during coffee hour today so that we can get together and find a good time to meet. Thanks.
Russ, could you stand so that those who may not know who Russ Miller is, one of our pastors in the congregation, they will be able to find you. We hope next week also there will be a moment for mission with a little bit more information about the survey that Gina will be bringing to us. So thank you for in advance for your participation in this very important part of the process. Please take time to take a look at the calendar of upcoming events. There are many things as we move into Eastertide together happening in the life and ministry of this congregation, and we hope that you will take advantage and get involved. If you ever have questions about what those things are, please either check the website of our church, which provides information about those things, or talk to one of us about that as well. Are there any other announcements this morning? Jenny.
We have a 20s and 30s gathering for, we're having a game night at the end of the month on April 27th. So if I don't have your email address and you haven't gotten an invite for that, come see me. We're also going to be throwing, for the whole congregation, we're going to be throwing a going away party for Ryan Jim. Next Sunday, so he's leaving very quickly, so we're organizing our party very quickly. Next Sunday after church at 2, we're going to have just sort of a light reception for him here at church in the Hope Room, so if you, we'd love to have as many people come join us to say thank Brian for all of the work and service that he's dedicated to this church and to send him off with well wishes.
By faith we are saved by grace, and it is not our own doing. Let us draw near to God in this hour of worship, in praise, in prayer, trusting in that promised grace always. Let us worship God as we sing together our opening hymn, Praise the Source of Faith and Learning, number 2004 in the small hymnal.
Thank you.
The message of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ is this, that while we were sinners, God came to earth and forgives our sins with his very life. In that promise, let us come to God in a time of prayer, of confession, as we join together, first in silence and then confessing in unison. Let us pray. Praying together. Lord Jesus Christ, the light of your love shines on, illuminating the places where you are present. As the bewildered disciples pondered the stories of your appearance, you penetrated the darkness of their fear and doubt with your word of peace. You showed them the appalling marks of evil pierced on your hands and feet. You opened their minds to understand why you had to die to defeat such evil and death. Increase our understanding, we pray, and open our minds and hearts to receive you, Lord. Speak your word of peace to us, and let your love shine on any dark areas in our lives. May this worship which we offer in your name be a worthy response to your love and your sacrifice for us. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, Give Thanks, which you will find projected on the screen and also in the small hymnal number 2036. Great is the mercy and faithfulness of our God shown forth in Christ's loving sacrifice for us. Friends, believe this great news. God is love. In Christ, we are forgiven. Let us live forth as a people who believe. Amen.
Now it's our time to share our joy and concern together.
I would like continued prayers from my sister Vivian, who has been diagnosed with breast cancer now on both sides. She's scheduled for surgery on Wednesday.
I'd like for us to remember Michael Prewitt, former pastor, interim, and development pastor at Calvin in Cumberland, having his second brain surgery tomorrow, and also Patrick O'Neill, a friend in Syracuse who's suffering from same ailment, brain cancer.
I'd like to ask prayers for my sister-in-law, Sandra, who has some blood disorder that they're having trouble treating. Thank you.
A while ago, I asked for prayers for my grandmother, who's not doing well, but we just went to visit her over Easter and all celebrated her 95th birthday, and she's recovered and doing very well for 95, so thank you for your prayers.
I thank God for adding one more year to my age. It's my birthday last Thursday.
I want to ask prayers for my sister Vivian, who is on her way to Ghana today to bury her mother. And I also want to ask prayers for my auntie passed away last week too. I'm asking prayers for my mother because they were very close and she's very sad. So prayers for all my family in Ghana.
I'd like to ask prayers for the Synod Council. We'll be meeting by way of computer on Saturday. Also continued prayers for Walter and prayers for his son, whose name is also Walter, who's having surgery on Wednesday. It sounds very dangerous. They're going in the front of the neck and doing fusion of the disc in the back or whatever, so it sounds very, very strange.
Please pray for my father-in-law. His name is Paul. He was hospitalized for 2 days. He's better now, so he will keep recovering. Thank you.
It's been a very difficult couple of weeks for my family, and I'd like to thank everyone who has been praying for both of my daughters. And Carmen is home from Jane Brown, the psych unit there, and she seems to be doing a little better. And my daughter Ariel has to make a decision as to whether she's going to have surgery or not for some cancer that's been found. And She opened a show yesterday at AS220 down in the Dreyfus Hotel, and it's fabulously wonderful after a lot of carpentry in my basement and a lot of gnashing of teeth and so on and so forth. And I also want to say I'm very proud of my university. Go Cuse!
A lot of you know that I've been working on a nonprofit to mobilize refugee employment, which is just kind of a roller coaster ride of joys and concerns. So I suppose that's the one prayer is that I'm not sure I have the constitution for a lot of roller coaster rides. But just a concern, we are kind of heading towards a cash crisis, and would love your, I sent out about 400 letters to people in Rhode Island looking for some support, and you can pray for that.
I want to thank you for praying for our country. We had a successful election, and the issue has been resolved with the government, and also praying for a response concerning Ashley. We still have not heard word.
Praise the Lord. My Christian friend, the pastor, the church members, you are praying for the whole America because the killing, Lord Jesus, is too much. Everybody in America, we get a friend, church member, everybody. You go home, your life, we pray for the whole America because the killing God's children. They kill it too much. Oh, Lord Jesus. You pray. Let the Holy Spirit touch. You pray, do you something? Ask you pray. But they're not gone. They're not gone. The gone is too much. Killing one another. Killing you pray. Your children go outside worried. Go to work and worry. Jesus will present to you this morning. Let you blow cover the whole America. Because it's too much. You know where you take it all from. We don't want to see something. When America happy, we happy. When America fighting, where we will go? We go in the sea or we go in the air. Father, touching your children. Let them love one another. Because they kill it. They kill it Africa, they kill it the animal. But they can't kill the human being. We praise Father to have mercy upon the whole America. Because it's not easy. We begging you. We begging you, touch them. Let the Holy Spirit go through them. We begging you, Father. You can do it. We can do it for ourselves. Praise the Lord.
I would just like to say what a joy it is to be back with my family here in Providence Presbyterian Church and to see God's Spirit so strong. It's wonderful to see loved ones and see all the new faces. I've been gone for 12 years, but I still feel part of this church family.
Good morning. I just wanted to say thank you for feeling very welcome here. I've only been coming a short time, and I wanted to welcome a young student from Brown who is from Italy visiting here today. So I wanted to welcome him as well, and it's a joy.
Tomorrow is Asher's birthday.
He's gonna be two.
Thanksgiving for Brooke getting to the other side of the hernia surgery, and he's improving slightly already. Thank you for your prayers.
I want to ask for thanks for Stacy kept the baby until now. That's really has been amazing. So I didn't need to fly in the middle of the night or the middle of my schedule here at the church. So thanks to God for that. Asking for your prayer for everything to go well on Tuesday. We're scheduled for delivery on Tuesday, so I'm flying today, and hopefully everything will fit into the schedule. I'll be away for 3 weeks. I will miss you, but I will be busy with two babies, so just pray for us. Thank you.
Let us pray. Creator and creating God, you are ever present, ever faithful, leading to new life, even from the deepest and darkest places of need. We give thanks for the prayers that sustain us in times of those needs. Help us this day to see your spirit alive in our midst in the rhythms of joy and sorrow, of peace and chaos, instability and transition, of very life and death. For in all things, you are God. We pray this day for those who grieve the loss of loved ones, for Nicholas and Terry's family and the loss of Terry this week, for Jim and Sally in Ohio this weekend, for his brother's memorial, for all of Priscilla's family near and far and en route to Ghana. We pray for strength for them in these days. Help us never to take the life that we have with one another for granted. We pray, Lord, this day for those who are struggling with difficult issues of health and healing, of new diagnoses. For those in need of your healing and empowering presence, we pray for those many named and unnamed here this day. For Vivian, for Michael, for Patrick, for Sandra, for Walter, for Paul, for Brooke in his continued recovery, for Ariel. We give thanks for the wonderful gifts of healing that you give to doctors and pray for their strength and wisdom in the cares of all of their patients. We pray for those who are in transition places of their lives, in seeking new jobs, in dealing with mental health and addictions issues, in times of change, of new opportunities, good and challenging. We thank you for new students in our midst and for the blessing of sharing together in fellowship this day. We give thanks for the joys of our lives, for new life and birth that reminds us of that rhythm of life, for Mercy home now with the Jumbo family. We pray for Stacy and Medhad and Sebastian as they await this new baby girl on Tuesday, and for Pastor Medhad's safe travel there in this time together. We pray for all who are waiting through pregnancies. We give thanks, O God, for signs of joy and hope and love in our midst, for Marianne's grandmother's celebration and the family that was able to gather, for Asher and Vivian's birthdays, for the strength you have given to the Afinia family during this time, for Carmen's return home and Ariel's installation. For those who have been part of this community that come and return to us, for Rita and her family, for all the students in our midst. We give thanks, O God, for this Easter season and the ways in which you are leading us forward toward the church that you would have us to be, with strength of leaders and vision for the future. Help us to discern wisely in these days as you continue to reveal your plan for your church in these days. We pray for the work of our synod and our presbytery meeting this week. We pray, O Lord, for our wider world, for places of pain and war, of injustice and poverty throughout our world and in our community. We give thanks for the Stepping Up program and those it helps here. We give thanks and pray for the vision and the forward direction of Beautiful Day in this critical time of need. May you bless this ministry to the refugees in our midst, seeking to find their way. We pray, O Lord, for the work of justice and fairness throughout our state and the many working in those directions. We give thanks for successful elections in Kenya and continue to pray for the adoption news. Make us ever mindful, O God, of the work that you are working ever in your world beyond ourselves, and lead us as a people of faith to ever witness your grace and power for all of life. In the power of the risen Lord, we would pray, saying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our children are excused to go down to their classes this morning.
The Old Testament lesson is from the Psalms, number 34, verses 1 through 10, which you can find on page 480 in your pew Bibles, or 625 in the large print, or on the screen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. The New Testament lesson is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself and all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
We are done with Easter. It was last week. And we have been walking in the long journey on the Lent, celebrating different stages of the Christian faith, bringing from the intense days like Ash Wednesday to Maundy Thursday to Good Friday. And finally, last week, we reached out the top by celebrating the Easter, declaring Jesus Christ's victory over death, and his appearance to Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John. And many of us, and this included me, will assume it is over now. Easter is behind. It's last week. But maybe that's right if we are thinking about the resurrection or Easter as a day on the calendar. But the Easter we are talking about, or Jesus challenging us to think about today, is the Easter that brings spirit, the spirit of resurrection, to give us hope as a second chance. God, who invited us through Jesus, the humble and the gracious Master, to accompany us in our journey in this life and even after this life. And today our stories, and I know many of us heard this story before, two disciples decide to leave Jerusalem and went back to their home in Emmaus, and this place was 7 miles far away from the holy city. They hit the road hoping to escape all the memories and troubles. If there is a troubles in one place, let's leave it, and hopefully even we'll leave the memories behind it. So Jerusalem was the place that reminded them about the crucifixion, that reminded them about Jesus being trapped in a tomb, and also that's where their hopes and their dreams were buried with his body too. In the road, they started to process what was in their minds and what made their hearts heavy and worry. Let us go now and talk with a close friend. Maybe we can share the same thing with the other disciples. This spiritual transformation happened not only when Jesus opened their eyes and when, as we know the story, as Jesus broke the bread and gave them the wine. Maybe that was the top of their eyes to be literally open. But many things was going on, and God was working on their faith, even when they couldn't see him 100%. The spiritual transformation started when they shared their thoughts with each other. And we have to agree on that there is some comfort where we can find somebody or a friend who share many things with us, or somebody we can really say our thoughts loudly without concern to be judged or me being in trouble. And I think the comfort God provided is by another disciples walking, complaining, blaming, whatever they're saying, negative talks, whatever, but they were comforting to each other. They were listening to each other. Most of the disciples and people who believed in Christ were going through this grief, hopelessness, confusion, and mixed messages. And I don't know what was the relationship between these two disciples. I don't know how close they were. I didn't know about their social status or their race or their background. But I know one thing. They trust each other to say what they couldn't say with other disciples. And again, it is good to find somebody or some place to relate to. But at the same time, we are not invited to stay there. We have to look around and see what we are called to see ourselves and to ask ourselves this question. What is preventing us from relating to others too? While God providing the comfort to relate to somebody we are comfortable with, on the other side, if we are the people of faith, we should challenge ourselves and ask, what's preventing us from relating to others? On the road, Jesus joined them, not as a master, not as somebody higher than them, but as a stranger. And I imagine Jesus as a Middle Eastern walking on the other side of the road, walking slowly and trying to move closer to them. And to imagine this in an American context, just imagine you are hiking in a forest where the trail is very narrow. And the road is so narrow, and it's easy for people to hear each other's conversation. And even it's easy for people to get engaged and to move from being stranger to share one conversation with each other. What's unique about this conversation is that it was a sensitive and very personal. And we know all as American or somebody who lived here, we know how to keep this personal, very intense situation from being public or saying on a trail. But I think they were really struggling even not to be aware or worry about they could be in troubles. I don't know if it was their courage or maybe their frustration or maybe their assumption that everybody knows what we know. And maybe that's made them worry, less worry or concern about their future. Because maybe they thought even literally about their future. There is no future after Jesus. And we can see that when the stranger, Jesus Christ, is trying to push himself and come closer. And then he pushed himself farther by trying to say, "What are you talking about?" And the response from their side is a reminder of, you didn't know what was going on in the city? Which in a direct way is reminding him, you are a stranger. While Jesus put a lot of effort to come close and push himself into their circle. And here we can see another miracle when their confusions and the struggles became the connection. And the bridge for the strangers to listen carefully. Jesus, as a stranger, joined them with his unknown identity and entered to their circle and then stepped farther by asking them about what was going on. And their answer somehow was pushing him, maybe not literally, but emotionally, push him back. Or as they said, a reminder of him, you are really a stranger because you didn't have a clue about what's going on in the city. You didn't know our culture. You didn't know the main things that's happening in our life. But even with this challenge, he kept moving forward and farther, seeking a deeper relationship with these people. We can see Jesus not being captive by his identity as a stranger. So after he listened carefully, he started to teach them. We all love to teach, but it's hard to listen. We all love to go and just make people go straight and do everything and get A's in everything. But what about people who need somebody to listen to their grief and loss and to their feeling? He starts to teach them about things. And if you are wondering about Christ saying how foolish you are and thinking, Jesus, the gentle one, how he could say something like that? It depends on how you can read it. Maybe you can hear it in a very harsh voice. But some people said actually, in the Greek, these words could be used in a laughing manner as how fool you are. In a way, it's not really judgmental, but more kind of like, I expect more than that from you. And also, as a Jewish teacher, these words reflect that you know your students very well and that you have the right to judge them. And we can see Jesus patiently went through the Old Testament teaching what has been revealed to them, giving them a new direction, add a new chapter to their faith. If anybody told you these people weren't the people of faith, this is not true. They knew a lot. Maybe they didn't get the whole picture. They weren't there yet on the end of the road. But just go and read what they said about Jesus Christ. He was a prophet. He was a special man. He was the man of our dream and hope. He was the redeemer of Israel. He was the new governor coming to control our land. And this was a lot. And this was part of their tradition and the way they understood the Old Testament. And we all do that. We have our own selective belief. We like to believe, we like to select what really only comforting us. But Jesus challenging them, say, and also, as was said, he has to be suffered and crucified. And as we see in the second scene, we can see Jesus as a stranger who became a guest. The same road that brings people together is the same road that divides people when they reach their destination. In the first scene, we see Jesus was the initiator, the pusher, the one who wants to come closer. He took many steps toward them. And in this scene, he took a big step by asking, they took a big step by asking him to stay and eat with them. And another miracle, because there are many, many miracles in this story. Another miracle in this story is that for the first time, they are not blind by their need and their situation. And now they are aware of the need of the strangers. It's too late. He is in the road. And this is the good side of being strangers. People can understand your struggle and your suffer. It is a miracle that happens every day when we see people of faith, when their eyes full of tears of their own life, but at the same time, they are capable to see other people's needs and reach out to them. In the last scene, we see Jesus, who was the stranger, who became the guest, and then they found out they were walking with an old and close friend all this time. While we are wondering or asking, complaining, or blind by our situation, where is God? Could God be closer to us more than what we can imagine or think? If you can't see God at this moment, that doesn't make you a non-believer, but makes you another true disciples. Amen. This is the joyful feast of the children of God. All who seek to earnestly follow Christ are invited to partake of this communion. People will come from east and west, north and south, to sit at this table with the Lord our God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at the table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise. Let us pray. We pray to you, Lord, to keep our hearts, O Lord, always open to you, so that we may be constantly renewed by your grace amid all the perils, dangers, restlessness, and complexity of our days. Give us the peace of those whose minds are always fixed on you. Help us to live as children of the light. Keep us from discord and bitterness in our earthly relationships, and grant us, we pray, kind and forbearing spirits, so that we may be makers of peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today we will be celebrating communion by the ancient rite of intinction. We invite you to come forward to partake of the bread and the cup, and to return by the side aisle to your pews. In a spirit of confession, in a spirit of remembering that this is Jesus with us at this table. Remembering our Lord Jesus, we break bread and share one cup, announcing his death for the sins of the world and telling of his resurrection to all peoples and nations. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. do so remembering me.
In the same way he took the cup after the supper, said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this remembering me." Every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray together the prayer of thanksgiving. God of grace, you call us to the holy table of the Lord to proclaim his death and receive his gift of life. Enable us to come with earnest faith and kindled devotion. Help us to remember Christ's self-offering with thanksgiving and praise. Open our hearts and minds to a vision of his love and pour into our souls the fullness of his grace. As we offer ourselves to you, let us go forth to live and serve as those whose lives are not our own, but belong to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Now let us bring our gifts and offerings to the Lord. Dear Lord, we dedicate these offerings of food and money to you. We also dedicate at this time that the members of the interim committee will be spending, so that together all that we contribute may further your work in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
We leave with the hope we are not walking alone, but we are walking with our Master and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who is with us from now and to ever.